Jesus. Let us take a moment in silence as Alabama got beat last night. Many of you have reminded me of that, and I so appreciate the love with which you have done that. Amen. I'm glad a salvation is not based upon a football team. Amen. And all you Tennessee fans said. Amen. There we go. Open your Bibles, if you would, 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6, I want to share with you the most unusual Christmas message today. The most unusual Christmas message. And he's saying, wait a minute, Brother Brian, the bulletin said that we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. Well, the bulletin may have said that, and I may have thought that, but God changed my mind this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 6. On the way home last night from Mississippi and this morning when I got up and watched the news, I heard reports of some very horrible events that had taken place over in London. Some very horrible events took place in New Orleans last night. Horrible events that took place throughout the United States this past week, especially on Black Friday. And so as I was thinking and praying, God said, I want you to share this scripture with the church this morning. It's rather extended, and there's a lot of things in here, and I want to try to unpack it so that we can understand and get the gist of what God is trying to tell us this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 6, we're starting verse number 24. Israel, we know at this time period here in 2 Kings, has been split into two kingdoms. One kingdom has already gone into captivity. The second kingdom is going to be going into captivity very soon. The children of Israel had been in a cyclic maneuvers. They had been right with God, then got wrong, and was right, was wrong, and right, and wrong. And they've been doing that for decades and decades and decades and decades. And every time they got away from God, God said, fine, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to get you right with me. And they celebrated and had a good time and worshiping God. And then pretty soon they got away from God again, and they go through times of terror. And you see that throughout the Old Testament. Over and over, they get right, they get wrong, they get right and get wrong. At this time period here in 2 Kings, we're seeing Israel at their worst. We're seeing Israel to the point where they are surrounded completely by a foreign army. And you say, well, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with us? When we read these words in just a few moments, it describes society. It describes where the United States of America is. As a matter of fact, the world is, but particularly the United States of America. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 24. It says, and it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he gathered all his armies, all his hosts, and they went up and they besieged Samaria. So Samaria was surrounded completely by a foreign enemy. All the armies of Syria were surrounding Samaria. The children of God, the children of Israel, were inside and they were surrounded by an enemy. And they were so surrounded that famine began to take place. Verse number 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's or a donkey's head was sold for four score pieces of silver. 6 pounds of silver. They were taking donkey's heads and cutting them off and eating those. And it costs about, in modern time, about $10,500 for a donkey's head. That's pretty severe famine. But it gets worse. And then it says, and the fourth part of a cab or a thimbleful of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. $2,500 for a cupful of dung from a dove. Now you say, now wait a minute, how in the world can that be nutritious? It isn't nutritious. How many of you have ever eaten some dove's leftovers? Nobody in here. But here's the problem. They were so desperate, and they were so malnourished, and they were so under famine, that they were eating anything. Everything appealed to them, and they were so hungry, they were grabbing at whatever they could grab. And no cost could ever fulfill them completely. Now wait a minute. Doesn't that sound like us in the United States of America? We are so famished for something that we're grabbing at anything. I saw on the news, people were punching each other out, grabbing $100 TVs at Walmart. Ridiculous. this? Beating up. And I saw a worker, one of the Walmart, he was trying to keep people back, and he wasn't being very successful. They were pushing him and shoving him and punching him, trying to get to something. I don't even know what it was. And they were cussing. Last night in New Orleans, 3 o'clock in the morning, shots rang out and 8 people were shot. Over what? I have no idea. A madman on London Bridge takes a knife and kills 2 people. Why? Brothers and sisters, don't we see the madness that we're in? And it was so bad here, they were eating a donkey's head and they were eating dove dung. And we look at that and say, there's no way I'd ever do it. But if you're gathering on the things of the world and you're grasping on things that the world says it's okay, the opioids and all the perversions, and we're selling our children for sexual favors, we're wrapping them from mother's wombs, we're abandoning people left and right, we're in a famine. How many of you agree that we're in a famine? A society, a spiritual famine. And it was horrible. And it gets even worse. Look what happens next. Verse number 26. And the king of Israel, he was passing by upon the wall. He was walking around. And there cried a woman unto him. And she said this, "Help me, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, how can I help you? Out of the barn floor, out of the winepress? What am I supposed to do for you if God can't help you?" And the king said unto her, "What ails you? Which problem? Which one going on?" And she answered and said this. She said, "Me and a woman made an agreement. And we agreed that if I would give her my son, that we may eat him today, that we will eat her son tomorrow." Do you get the picture? 2 women made an agreement. And one of them said to the other, "If we'll eat your son today, boil him up and eat him, tomorrow we'll eat my son." How many of you agree that's depraved? So they do. That one woman takes her son and they boil him up and fry him and do whatever they do, and they eat him so they can barely survive that day. And the next morning they wake up, and the woman whose son they just consumed, she goes over to her friend's house and says, "Okay, I'm hungry, it's time for..." Good gracious. But look what happened. And so verse number 29, "We boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her the next day, 'Give us your son that we may eat him.' And she hid her son." She said, "Okay, it's time to eat your child now." But the woman took her son and hit. I don't blame her. I'd have hit him too. "And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes." He tore his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And he said, "God do so and more to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." And he said, wait, what is that meaning? The king was so distraught with hearing this story about 2 women eating a child and getting ready to eat a child the next day that he tears his clothes. But instead of crying to God, he blames the prophet. He blames someone who had nothing to do with the problem. He blames everybody else instead of the real issue. And what is the real issue? Who should he blame? Himself. Brothers and sisters, whose fault is it that we're aborting children? Whose fault is it that we're selling our children into sexual slavery? Whose fault is it that we're reaching for society's goods and doing all these nasty things and abandoning our children and all these? Whose fault is it? "Well, it's not my fault, Brother Brian. I haven't done nothing wrong." Well, you may not have done anything wrong, but the problem is,
Are we making a difference? Do we care? Do we pray? Do we witness? Do we reach out in some way, somehow, and try to make a difference? Do we really pray for our leaders? Do we really fall on our faces before God Almighty and say, oh God, please let our leaders lead us right? Or are we so disgusted with them that we've even stopped thinking about it? I'm disgusted with our political situation. How about you? But when am I going to pray about it? When am I really going to get on my knees and pray for our politicians and our leaders? When am I going to do it? Instead of complaining about things, brothers and sisters, we ought to be praying about things. But you know where it starts? Right here. So the king hollers and says, I'm going to kill Elisha. It's the prophet's fault. No, it's not the prophet's fault. It's the king's fault. And he makes a declaration. If Elisha is still alive tomorrow, his head will be off his shoulders. And he blames the prophet. Look what happens. Word gets to Elisha about this happening. Verse number 31. God, so do more to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Verse 32. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man before him. But ere the messengers came to him and said to the elders, see you how this son of murderer has sent to take away my head? Look, the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is it not the sound of the master's feet behind him? So in other words, Elisha says, hey, God has given me the message that they're going to try to kill me. The murderer is coming to kill me. The problem is, the king's focus is on the wrong problem. Look at me just for a second, please. Let me ask you a question. Who is the source of your biggest problems? What is the reason that we fail and fall into temptation? What is the reason? It's got to start with us. The psalmist says, search me, O Lord, and look at me, and find if there any wicked way inside of me. So the king, he goes and looks for Elisha to kill him, thinking that it's going to solve the problem. If you look and say, well, if we could just get rid of Brother Brian, it will solve all of our problems. If that's the case, and by me leaving solves your problems, then okay. Well, if we can just get rid of the president, if we can just get rid of the senators, if we can just get rid of the congressmen, if we can just get rid of the governors, if we can just get rid of my boss, if we can just get rid of all of those, then all of our problems are going to be solved. No. Can I show you where the problems will be solved? Hold your finger right here and go to the book of Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Let me show you where our problems are going to be solved. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. The first part of Deuteronomy chapter 30. The first 14 verses, God gives the children of Israel instructions how to live their life and what He promises that He will do. But look what He starts saying here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 15. Now He's speaking to His children. He's speaking to His people. He's speaking to those who are trusting Him. Here's what He says. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. He says, I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you an option. Life or death, good or evil. And then He says this, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Why? That you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. He says, listen, if you'll just do what I tell you, if you just follow my instructions, if you just follow my teachings, if you'll just live according to me, I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will take care of everything you need. How many of you understand what it's saying right there? That's what he's saying. It's simple. Heard an illustration? Young lady cooking Thanksgiving for the very first time. Wanted to impress her in-laws coming. Very first Thanksgiving with her husband. She got a beautiful butterball turkey. 25 pounds. And she wanted to impress her mother-in-law with her skills at cooking. She gets the bird, puts it in the oven, turns it to 375 degrees, just like the instruction said, and lets it cook and times it exactly right. She looked it up on the internet. Google said this. Cooks it and cooks it and cooks it, and all of a sudden a strange smell comes from the kitchen. And she comes and goes to her husband and says, honey, there's something wrong. I smell something burning. I smell burning plastic. And her husband looks at her, I don't know what's going on. And she says, I don't know either, but it's coming from the kitchen. They go running in the kitchen, and there's smoke coming out of this oven. She opens it up, and there's the turkey still wrapped in the plastic. Brothers and sisters, we want the blessings of God on our life, but we're going about it the wrong way. We're doing the wrong things. May I assure you of this? Young people, look at me, please. Please look at me for a moment. Teenagers, children, look at me. Did you know that if you tell 99.99% of truth, it's still a lie? It's still 100% a lie. If there's even a shred of deceitfulness or a lie, it's still 100% a lie. He continues on. Look what he says. He continues. He says, verse number 17, but if your heart turns away, so you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Here's what he says. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether you possessed over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Underline and circle that. He is thy life, and the length of thy days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. He is your life, and he is your length of days. Brothers and sisters, your hope is not found in a Christmas tree. Your hope is not found in some statue sitting right up here. Your hope is not found in Christmas carols. Your hope is not found in this preacher. Your hope is not found in your bank account. Your hope is not found in your intellect. Your hope is not found upon your degrees. Your hope has got to be found on Jesus Christ. That's where hope is found. The people of Samaria were surrounded. They were eating donkey heads. They were eating dove dung. They were eating each other's children. And who were they blaming? Everybody but themselves. And it even got to the point where they started blaming God. Well, if you really loved us, God, then you would... I told my daughter the other day, if some knothead comes to you and says, if you love me, you'll... I said, you'd look at that knothead and said, if you love me, you go get in traffic. And all the daddies said, if somebody tells you, if you really love me, you'll do this. We say, wait a minute, didn't God say that? No, we first loved him because he first loved us. God will never ask you to do something that he doesn't do it out of love. Now go back now, if you would. Go back to 2 Kings real quick. So sure enough, Elijah tells them that tomorrow morning when you guys wake up, the famine is going to be over. Tomorrow morning, guess what? The siege is going to be broken. Tomorrow morning, just trust that God's going to take care of it. And they laugh at him. They said, Elisha, you've got to be out of your mind. It's not going to happen. But Elisha says, God can do anything if you'll just do what God tells you to do. So here now, chapter number 7. Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, a penny, and 2 measures of barley, 2 big old bushels of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. He says, tomorrow morning the famine's going to be broken. And they laughed at him and said, there's no way. Brothers and sisters, you want a solution to your marital problems? You want a solution to the problems you're dealing with your brothers and sisters and dealing with your parents and dealing with society? You want a solution to your financial situations and issues? You want to know how to deal with those things? Repent and turn back to God. Do things God's way. Do things the way God wants them to be done. No, Brother Brian, that's too complicated because it means I've got to give up something. So they laughed at him. Look at verse number 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, talking about Samaria. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine's in the city and we're going to die there. But if we sit here, we're going to die. And if we go, when we go to the enemy, we're going to die. So we got to do something. So guess what they decided to do? They decided to get their stuff up and they were going to go to the Syrians. And they were going to go into the Syrian camp and they were going to beg and say, oh, please have mercy on us. We know that if we go into the city, the famine's going to kill us. We know if we sit right here, we're going to die. Surely if we go to the Syrians, they're going to have mercy and maybe give us some food. They might kill us, but it'll be quick. They had no options. So they go and they start going to the camp of the Syrians. Verse number 5. And they rose up in the twilight. In other words, it was getting dark. And they came into the camp at the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost, the outer part of the camp, there was no man there. They got up. It was getting dark. And they came walking up to the camp cautiously, and no guard challenged them. And they're thinking, hey, wait a minute. Something's not right here. And they kept going forward, and they got deeper and deeper. Verse number 6 says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, the king of Israel has hired us, the kings of Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. See what had happened? That night before, God had arranged all the people, all the soldiers, the Syrian soldiers, to hear a great army surrounding them. And they freaked out and they ran and they got away and they escaped. But there was no army of men surrounding them. Who was it that defeated the Syrians? God did. So these 4 lepers, they come into the camp very cautiously and they find it a wreck. But they find food, they find clothing, and they find gold. So they go into the camp and they find everything they need. And what do you think the first thing they did when they got in there? They started eating. How many of you would start eating right away? My goodness, yeah. They're rejected by the city. They're rejected by the Syrians. And they have no hope. But they start finding food. And they start finding treasure, thinking, man, we've got it made. I'm in the money. I'm in the money. Start singing. I can see them dancing around with the jewels and everything else. And man, they're having a good time. But now they got to make a choice. They could stay in the camp and enjoy the riches, or they can go back to the city and tell them about what they found. Now see, here's the second point. The first point is, we're in a spiritual famine because we've turned away from God. Here's the second point. You guys have found the solution. I have found the solution. And I'm going to heaven. Are you? Are you willing to tell people about the solution that you found? Are you so caught up in the riches of the world that you don't want to share it with anybody else? These lepers had to make a choice. And it says that they talked one to another and they said, guess what? If we stay here in this camp, nobody's going to hear about our good news. So what did they do? They went back to the city and they said, guess what? The Syrians are gone. We have all the stuff they have. And it says that later on, the army came out from the city and they found all the food and they began to feast and celebrate. And what did they do? They did not thank God. Now, it's all in there and I don't have the time to cover it. But I want you to get this point. We are famished spiritually because we're eating on other things other than the things of God. It's our responsibility to tell others about God, about saving grace of Jesus Christ, because that's what He's told us to do. If we're not, we're being selfish. But here's the third thing. God loved us so much, He sent us the good news. He saved our hides spiritually. Do you even care? See, good news is that there's a way of salvation. Good news is that there is a way, a hope of all the filthiness of this world. Good news, you have hope. Let me show you where it is. Go to Luke chapter number 2 and we're done right here. Luke chapter number 2. Very common, matter of fact, most of you will read this passage sometime this year. Hopefully. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. Here is the good news. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now look at this, which shall be to all people. Underline that, all people. This is not just for the Jews. This is not just for the kings. This is not just for the right people. This is for all people. Here's the message, which shall be to all people. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a banker, a gift giver, a good man, a good teacher. No, what's the word? A savior. A savior from what? All our sins. A savior from the spiritual famine. A savior from our selfishness. A savior from our wicked, nasty sin. A savior is born unto all people. And then he identifies him. A savior which is Christ the Lord. Good news! We're in a spiritual famine. Well, that's not good news. Good news! It's our job to tell others. Well, yeah. But good news! We have something to tell. Jesus Christ is born. It's his birthday, but we got the gift. Brothers and sisters, the solution to your spiritual famine is found in Jesus. The solution to the world's spiritual famine, Bryson City, Swain County's spiritual famine, is Jesus Christ. But here's my question for you. Do you even care? And do you want to tell others? I'm glad that those lepers went back to that city and told the city. They were delivered. But are you willing to go back and tell the world of salvation through Jesus Christ? Now look at me, and I'm going to pray. Miss Shirley, if you'll come on up, if you wouldn't get ready to play, if you wouldn't mind. Brother Danny, go ahead and come. Let me ask you a question this morning. Think inside your heart. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care that spiritual starvation is taking place all around us? Do you care? Or are you okay with just you and your family getting through? My prayer is that we'll care. Well, Brother Brian, I don't know how to do it. What do I say? You simply tell people what God did for you. I was a sinner. I was bound for hell. I tried everything I could, and nothing worked. And then Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved my sorry, wretched soul. He delivered me and changed me from the inside out. Can you say that this morning? Is that your testimony? Because guess what? He'll deliver you. He'll forgive you. He'll clean you. Why? Because he loves you. In spite of you. I sat in that deer stand the other day with my son. And I saw the beautiful sun as it was setting. I heard the wind blowing. And I said, God, thank you for this opportunity to sit here with my son. What a blessing. But then I said, God, thank you that if I died right here in this stand, that I'd be in your presence because of your son, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I love my son. I love being with him. But I love my Savior even more. So here it is. You want out of that spiritual famine? Just get right with God. Admit it. Confess it. And then start doing something about it. Tell others. Because they need it. I need it. Praise God for that. Let's all stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Shirley's going to keep playing. I'm going to pray. And then you just do what God's telling you to do. It may be to make an altar where you're at. It may be to come forward. But brothers and sisters, turn away from the famine and turn back to salvation. Heavenly Father, your word is true. Thank you for using this vessel to deliver your word. But God, I can't change lives. Thank you for saving my sorry soul through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that I have the opportunity to share the good news with my brothers and sisters here this morning. But God, help me to share the good news with the world around me. Father, forgive me for not. Help me, God, to do what I need to do. Deliver us from the spiritual famine in our lives today. May we turn away from it and turn back to you. In Christ's name I pray.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. You may need to get right with God right where you're standing. Confess. Talk to Him. You may need to thank Him. But whatever it is, just do it. Just do it. Before it's too late. Before it's too late.